Even then, the best athletes were concerned with how they fueled their bodies and workouts. It truly is what makes the difference between good and great. One Nation Nutrition wants to help you parents by helping your athlete to excel in any sport and be their best. One Nation Nutrition can help you help them and make sure what they're putting in their bodies is safe, legal, and healthy. They don't put milkshakes in race cars, and you shouldn't be fueling up on that either. Good nutrition will help prevent injuries and give them the energy they need to have the best shot at achieving their goals. One Nation Nutrition in Wentzville, O'Fallon, and St. Peter's has meal replacements, post-workout recovery drinks, and energy bars to keep your athlete on track. Get to One Nation Nutrition today.
Check out any of the 3 One Nation Nutrition locations in Wentzville, O'Fallon, or St. Peter's. And make sure to come by the big party at 1127 Wentzville Parkway, July 28th from 11 to 3.
As a local company for almost 80 years, Schnucks is committed to the communities and neighborhoods they serve, especially right here in St. Louis. They're a local company that believes in partnering with other local companies, vendors, and farmers to support the very best our community has to offer. Like the Zimmerman family from Vandalia, Illinois, who grow the best cantaloupe in the Midwest. They also employ over 14,000 of our family, friends, and neighbors. Helping fuel our local economy. Grown in St. Louis, Schnucks is loyal to local. Schnucks.com/local.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
You see, that's the whole point of being the government. If you don't like something, you simply make up a new law that makes it illegal. Speaking of which, I think we might also start working on legislation to outlaw that haircut of yours. No one likes it, apart from blind people. And I'm sure even they can sense its profound ugliness as it passes by. I'll
crossed over if I never have a cent.
There was someone talking
I'll
about
be rich as Rockefeller.
I don't think Frank heard that. No. Oh, no. He will laugh if he'd heard that.
On the sunny side of the street.
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, it really is.
On 1 to 10, I'd go 6.
Okay. I think most days on a 1 to 10, I'm a 6 most days. I think I'm ever a 10. You know, some people are, though. Those people that are always happy.
Like Dan.
Dan, exactly. No matter what happens, seem to always be able to get something out of the day and make the most of it. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the July 9th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on 590 The Fan. We will be with you until 6 o'clock, and then Larry Connors takes over. And because it's Monday, that means Taylor Nickerson, proud papa of Patrick, will be joining us at the 4 o'clock hour. And there's not a week that goes by where on Monday people don't have a bunch of tech questions. And I'm one of them. But I can contact him outside of the 4 o'clock hour on Monday. We leave that for you. So if you got something bugging you, he's the guy to talk to. I'd like to thank my grandson right away for my summer cold. Thank you, little man. If you're around let me tell you, if you're around little kids, they have this incredible ability to give people colds. I don't get a cold often at all. I'll go 2 years without a cold, but let him come over and just sort of have a cold. Hey, Grumpy, and he's giving me a hug. Boom, I've got a cold. It's just, it's like the cold germs just jump right off of him onto me.
I saw the video of him catching a fish.
Oh, he catches fish all the time.
I bet all by himself. It was, and he's...
Danny's been casting and doing that for a year.
Oh, holy cow!
He'll only be 5 next week. But he's been doing this casting and stuff for a year.
That casting is I can't cast like that.
I can't cast.
No, if anybody, there's that word again, can't, be careful. Yeah. Careful with that.
Apologies.
No, I'm really bad about posting stuff on our Facebook. I should do it more. So yesterday I decided to throw about four videos up there. And one of them that Dan's talking about is yesterday afternoon we went down the road. A friend has a pond. The perfect pond. I wish I had it.
It's a cool little pond.
Yeah, it is. And so we take a tackle box and we go down there. And here's the other thing. I don't know. People who don't fish won't understand why this is such a big deal. Tim, do you fish at all?
Never.
No, really? Never fished. How about you, Limey?
When I was a little kid, but not much since then.
That's sad to me.
I have. I just don't like touching them.
Yeah, I remember that. You don't like touching bait either.
No.
I got news for you. It's kind of tough to fish when you don't touch bait or the fish.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tough. He has never been finned, and he has picked up fish since he's been three. And he's never... Finned means, especially the dorsal fin. Fish have fins for a couple of reasons. One, it helps them swim, but two, it's a protective device, like porcupine quills. And that dorsal fin, especially on a catfish, it'll lay your hand open like you cut it with a knife. And he has just always somehow known how to pick fish up. And they don't fin him.
Now, when I lived in Kentucky, I had a guy on a radio show I hosted one time who went...
You hosted a show?
I did.
What was it called?
Tim's show.
Tim Woodburn's show?
It was about four different shows I was on. It's not important.
Okay.
But what is important is this guy went fishing, and he didn't use a rod or a reel.
Called
noodling.
Noodling.
He stuck his hand. I met this guy.
Mm-hmm. And noodling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a big deal with some country people.
Yep.
And I think it's crazy.
He sticks his hand into a hollowed, rotten piece of tree bark or wood or something under the water.
Or cave.
With no glove on or nothing, and just sticks his hand in there and yanks out a fish that has teeth. You know,
and
just yanks it out.
It's a catfish, and the catfish will like bite down on their arm, and then they
try and eat it. Yeah.
Okay, well, how do you practice that? How do you, I don't know. What would give somebody the idea to say, you know what, should I go swimming today? Should I go watch a game today?
I know exactly what you're doing. And as much as I like to fish, I would never do that. Somebody asked me one time if I wanted to go noodling. It took me about 1/100th of a second to answer. No.
The answer to Tim's question is why would somebody do that is beer. That's why.
Beer?
Yep. Watch me catch this fish with my hands.
Yeah.
This guy's dead now, but a friend of ours, this couple of friends, her dad was nicknamed Catfish, and he was a noodler, meaning he did what Tim's talking about. He'd go in the river and get in that murky, muddy water, reach around, find a cave in the wall of the bank, or like he said, some big log hollowed out of something, and just reach in there and come out with these gigantic catfish, and his arm was just destroyed, all scarred up and chewed up. I just thought, I don't get it.
No,
it does not seem fun to me. But I don't know. I've said this before. Take a kid fishing because I have never seen a boy or a girl, little boy or girl, who didn't get the biggest kick out of catching a fish. Whether it's the bobber goes down or they just kind of know how to cast and wait for it to hit it. It's a big thrill.
Yeah, and what's their patience level for when they don't catch one?
With my grandson, oddly enough, he has, and I have seen him and know for a fact, he has fished for 6 or 7 hours and not gotten bites at stretches of half an hour.
Wow.
But he still fishes. He's obsessed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it.
That's rare.
Has anybody ever been gigging?
I never have.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah.
You know what else is pretty popular? Spear fishing.
Hmm.
Now, I've never done that either. It's like a bow and arrow and a crossbow, and then it's on a line, so you retrieve
the bow fishing. Yeah, well, bow fishing I've always wanted to do.
Right.
Always wanted to try that out.
Yeah, you're right. It is bow fishing. What do I call it? Spear fishing? Bow fishing. That's a big deal. But I just am amazed that they just took a family vacation with his mother, who's my daughter-in-law. It was her family. So every year, her family goes somewhere. So they went down to Destin, Florida. And my son called me and said, well, They've got some really neat stuff down here. Apparently, they put up some brand new arcade-type place for kids, and he said he wanted nothing to do with any of it. He fished every day. Even just walking out on the beach, he had his little rod and reel, and you know how people just, in the beach down there is beautiful, just mm-hmm. walk out on the beach oh. and let the water lap up against. No, he walked out with a rod and reel and caught fish while other people were standing around playing. He caught fish. He baits his own hook. He takes it off the hook. He takes the pliers. He digs the hook out of the fish's mouth. It's pretty incredible. And now I'll stop because I can't stand it when people brag. And I'm not really bragging. I'm just sharing the fact that he loves to fish.
I thought it was pretty incredible that if he's not even five, and when he was casting, and then he ended up catching a fish. He lost one.
One got off the hook.
It jumped off the hook, and then he cast back in and got it.
Yeah, within 30 seconds. Yeah. And that's the great thing about farm ponds or just sort of private ponds. They're not overfished. And you take a kid somewhere like that, they will catch fish. They just will. It's almost impossible not to catch a fish. So it was a good weekend. We had a really, what was the real pleasant day? Was that Saturday?
Saturday
oh, was gorgeous.
Man. Yeah.
That was fantastic. So a little bit of a loss of a voice here. And thanks again to Carson for that. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do. It's very quick, though.
Well, Mr. Good Mood, because England is still in it. Here is Limestone Trevor Limey Phillips. It's all yours. You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. I got to watch Sweden lose to England this weekend, and it was an extremely great event. But what made it really great is because I was watching it on my own at home. It was an early game. I got to watch it with my dad. He was over in England, but got to video chat with each other and watch the game together. And it was really cool. It was an awesome experience. And thank you, technology.
How great is technology? You could do that.
I mean, we were sitting there just talking about the exact same thing, cursing the referee, you know, making fun of players when they fell down all of a sudden. I mean, we were doing all of that, and it was just like back when we used to watch the games together. So
if you have
it was awesome.
Decent Wi-Fi, you can pull it off. Did you do it with your FaceTime or Skype?
Yeah, we did it over the Facebook version of Skype. Okay. So, yeah, got to watch the game on my TV. I was wearing my England flag for good luck, and it paid off. Thank you very much.
So you really believe that you wearing that flag in your house?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a friend who's a big Steelers fan. I'm not making this up. He's an intelligent guy. And when he watches football and Steelers are playing, he has different shirts he puts on. One he wears when the game starts. At halftime, he changes into another Steelers thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I can understand that.
And then if they win or lose, he has yet another Steelers.
We're playing Croatia on Wednesday, as Tim mentioned in the news. And I can tell you that if we lose on Wednesday, it's because we have to wear the white shirts and not the red ones. England has two, right? You've got a home shirt and an away color. Our away is red, which I don't really see the point in that because we're already away. We're in Russia, c'est la vie. And the home is a white shirt, and it looks terrible. And I'm telling you, it's gonna mess with the energy or something of the team, and they're gonna lose to Croatia because we're wearing a white shirt.
So you're saying England's going to lose Wednesday?
You're going to mess with the kinda, mojo?
You're supposed to have a positive attitude.
I have a positive attitude.
You're positive they're going to lose.
I'm gonna, believe me, you're going to see me on Wednesday sitting in Dan's booth watching the TV wearing my England flag.
Tim told me before we go on the air, the game, what'd you say, Tim? It starts.
It's going to end right when we go on the air Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. My God. You know what? Bring some Xanax or something. or do we need to have a replacement on standby for you?
That's what David Solomon said.
Dan, you still have a Buse Boy's number? We might have to have he's a control board operator way back.
Abuse boy?
He's a good guy. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
But seriously, if they lose right before we go on.
I think I'm going to be okay.
Are you going to be able to?
I'm going to be okay. I probably won't talk much, but I'll be okay.
He's already kind of grooming himself for them to lose. I personally don't think they're going to lose.
I don't think they're going to lose. I think we're going to go all the way at least to the finals, which will be the first time I've ever seen that in my
About
lifetime.
When will the finals be? Because it seems like
next Saturday.
For 3 months.
Next Saturday. It's 6 weeks long.
Okay.
Next Saturday.
Did you have anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Who else? Anybody? Tim, I could tell by Tim's expression he had. So, ladies and gentlemen, not just our newsman, but your, when you need him, your private investigator, Tim Woodburn. Listen to that.
Whoa.
Whoa, they like you. They Big really crowd. Like you. It's all yours, Tim.
Thank you,
Frank. You're welcome.
During a family lunch that I had the pleasure of experiencing yesterday out in Chesterfield, we were discussing the rescue of the Thailand boys. That are trapped in the cave. We've talked a lot about that on the show. And discussing how claustrophobic some of us were and some of us aren't, and going through that whole ordeal, which takes 2 hours to bring, you know, a boy out. You know,
yeah, because isn't it like...
They're like a mile
a
in.
A mile?
It's, yeah. It's almost 2 miles long, actually. And the way it's done is like one scuba diver's in the front, and I guess the boy's holding on to his foot, and then the other scuba diver's behind holding on to the boy's foot so that he has... You know, being touched on both ends at the same time, you know, so he has a sense of I'm okay, you know, as he breathes into the equipment.
Unbelievable.
And they go through these passageways, and they're, you know, there's deep dives, you know, and then there's times where, you know, you're going with your chest parallel to the ground, and there's times you have to turn because the passageway won't allow for the oxygen tank on your back to get through, so you have to turn to the side, and they have to like turn these boys to the side to get them through, and then turn them back the other way.
Wow.
And it's just unbelievable. And I'm claustrophobic. It's a phobia I have. I mean, it's terrible.
Oh, I am too.
I never was till the last few years.
You know, I could probably say that as well. I don't think I really was or had experienced it. And then all of a sudden I did experience it, and I realized it was a problem. It was a real problem.
You ever have an MRI?
I had to stop an MRI.
I did it too. I did it about a year ago. I went in and I just said, you know what? Let me out of here. I can't do it. And I went back the next day. I took 4 Xanaxes and came back the next day. I was fine.
Oh, nice.
I fell asleep.
Well, they didn't offer me 4 Xanaxes.
No, I got my own stash.
When I first started the show, if you recall, I hurt my knee, and I had to have an MRI in my knee, and I was asking right. a million questions. Do I have to put my whole body in there? Because the last time I had some neck issues a while ago, and I had to stop the MRI. So I made the mistake, not knowing that I was claustrophobic, of going scuba diving.
Oh,
and
I did it once.
Yeah, well, you and me both, brother. Because I'm going to tell you what happened when I went scuba diving. I was vacationing in St. Lucia at a resort, and they had it roped off where there was about 4 foot deep of water, you know, out that went out about 40 yards, and then it was like after that, oh, swim at your own risk because it gets deep and it's choppy out there. Yeah. And this is kind of the safe zone, yeah, right? Right. And so I made the mistake of with the young lady I was with. We took scuba diving lessons, and we like. Took the lesson right there in the 4 foot deep water. You know, you practice your breathing just like these boys in Thailand are doing. You know, they're going underwater and you practice, you know, on the whole bit and how to do it. And then as soon as we got past that 40 yard rope where the water was only 4 foot deep, our scuba guy takes us out there. He goes, now give me the 2 thumbs down if you want to end this and just, you know, go back to the shore. So I'm like, all right, okay, that's a sign. So I go out past this 40-yard buoy, and I'm underwater, and now all of a sudden it's like a cliff drop, and it's like 50 feet deep right past where this thing was. I mean, the ground just completely dropped. Within about 30 seconds, I saw an eel that was about 8 feet long, and it had teeth about as long as my fingers. And within 30 seconds, I'm giving this guy a double thumbs down. Yeah. I'm having hyperventilation attacks. I'm like, this thing's going to look at me and think I'm a bratwurst or something, and it's going to – I ended it, and I said, I'll never, ever, 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 ever scuba dive again. I paid like $90 for the lesson, and I lasted 30 seconds.
Guess what you and I have in common? One time, and it was a 4 hour or of training
right.
to get whatever certified, and I'm exactly the same way. We went down 30 feet. For half an hour.
Wow.
Which seemed like a week and a half. And that, you know, everybody else, my wife and I think my friend the rat, and at the time his girlfriend was with us, they all loved it. I was the only one who hated it. And it's because I know that 30 feet is not down where the Titanic is, but it seemed like it was way down
there.
There's
a lot of pressure down
there. There's tremendous pressure.
There is.
And I did not like it, and I've never done it again.
And by the way,
if you snorkel, you can see 90% of the same stuff.
That's what's amazing about these kids in Thailand is that you could see during your experience, and I obviously could see what was going on around me. I mean, there was fish there that was ridiculous. Another time, I took a helicopter tour over in East Coast, up in the New Jersey area. I took a helicopter tour with a couple of different guys,
right.
And we see people swimming right off the shore, and the pilot's like, yeah, these people wouldn't be out there if they knew it was 15 feet away, and we were like looking down, and we saw sharks that were just kind of hanging out and just kind of milling about.
15, and those people are oblivious.
15 yards from Joey playing volleyball with his brother, you know, and they're 8 years old, and 45 feet away, there's a shark that could eat him like that. That ain't for me.
Mine was more like, what if this oxygen thing gets cut off, and right. I get snagged on a rock, and I'm trying to tell people I'm with, and all they see is bubbles, and they don't. Yeah, it's different, and people say, well, you can fly, and you're way up there. What if something happened? Completely different to me. Just totally different. When I'm up there, I don't feel under pressure. I just don't.
But you have to have your sense of vision about you, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're claustrophobic or you have a fear of anything, you know, being able to see what's about to happen or not about to happen is at least half the battle of overcoming the anxiety. Mm-hmm. And what these boys are going through in Thailand is they can't see anything for 2 hours or 2.5 hours. They've actually shortened how long it takes them to get them out. They are in complete darkness for 2.5 hours, going about 1 mile an hour as they're swiveling their way through.
They have a guide cable or something that they kind of are holding and pulling.
I don't know if that's the case or not. I think that the divers just know the route to get there now at this point, and they have like replacement oxygen canisters that are along the way just in case one goes bad. You know, there's replacements there to get
to. Wasn't it one Thai Navy SEAL actually lost his life?
Yeah.
Like, he was taking air to the boys, and he didn't save enough for himself on the way back, and he got he just ran out of air.
Right.
Poor guy.
Right. He was actually setting up the replacement oxygen containers.
I just got a text from Larry Connors.
Do they not have
we ruined a show already.
Lights in there when the divers go in?
Well, there's the passageways are so narrow. Yeah. What would you hang them on?
See, this is typical Dan. I said, I just got a text from Larry Connors. And Dan says, do they not have lights in there? Dan, this is like a bulletin.
Okay.
Larry's text says, I ran out of oxygen 50 feet down, which explains some things. When your brain is deprived of oxygen, you get messed up.
You become a newsman.
Yeah. or you're willing to work after 6 o'clock. Yeah. You know, you've been deprived of oxygen, and normally they go, we want to go on after 6. No. But no oxygen, sure. It changes everything. So that explains some things.
That would be scary.
Did you have anything else?
No.
All right. Dan?
No.
All right, let's close it. Burke's segment is officially closed. There have been many things that I've done that I'd say, well, I'll never do that again. I'll tell you some things I won't do the first time, and I'll give you one, is that bungee jumping. I'm not doing that.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I know about that.
Hang on a minute.
I can't do heights.
Who's the text from?
I've seen a bungee jump with the bungee cord around their waist. Okay, if I had to do it, but tied at the ankles and thrown off a bridge or some. No.
No.
I'm not doing that. Now, I think I'd do almost anything for enough money, but I'm not kidding. If you said to me, if you'll bungee jump connected at the ankles, off a, I don't know, 200-foot bridge or whatever it is, where when you go down, that long rubber band stops you just before your head hits a big rock. And you said, we'll give you 10 grand to do it. I am not kidding you when I tell you I would say no. I won't do it for $10,000. I just won't.
I'd be the guy that the cable snap on. I'd be the guy that the carnival worker who's estimating how much you weigh and how much cable you need probably would have smoked one too many before his shift started and miscalculated. And
you know, there have been a couple of cases where they did not connect the bungee cord to the bridge or the whatever, and just
the bungee cord just snapped.
That's happened.
Yeah,
right. No, I know it doesn't happen often. But I'm not bungee jumping. You ever see these, they're like swings, and like two people sit in them, and they're attached on each end to some bungee thing. Have you ever seen these?
Yeah, and then it shoots them into the air like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
They had one. I don't know if they still do. They had one at Six Flags.
They had one like the ocean. And yes, they did have one. I wouldn't do that either. I'm not doing that.
I saw a video once where these people were getting ready to be launched into the air, and the band breaks. Right as they're about to be let go, one of the bands just
snaps.
And
better
just
then
there.
Than after they shoot them.
I'm out. I'm never doing
that. Oh, I saw one where it was like a husband and wife or something, and I don't remember if it was the guy or the girl, passed out. When it took off, she just passed out.
Those videos are kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the G-force on them just knocks them out so they just go all limp.
Now, I'm trying to think how many times have I... Have you ever passed out in your life?
Yeah.
Limey? No.
Limey?
No.
Dan, you have? When did you pass out? I don't mean drunk. I mean from anything else.
No. I just passed out. When I was a kid, I passed out in school. I was going to a Catholic school. I was in maybe fourth grade. Passed out in church when we had to... and I woke up laying on the kneeler. And then I passed out once. My mom was rubbing calamine lotion on me when I had the chicken pox.
Yeah.
And passed out while she was doing that.
Why would you pass out from that?
I don't know. The chicken pox were inside, I think, more so than outside. And the calamine lotion, I have no idea why I passed out.
Tim, you ever passed out?
Oh, I was hoping you're going to pass me out. Yeah, it's probably one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever done.
Well, now we have to hear it.
I was...
Let's go. I got one.
I was reffing a roller hockey game in Columbia, Missouri without a cup on.
Oh.
And a guy took a slap shot and hit me.
Let's stop right here. For those who don't... Ladies listening, or anybody who doesn't know what cup he's talking about, it's a cup that covers... the boys. It covers your genitals to keep you from getting smacked in the testicles. He didn't have his on.
And I got hit with a slap. A guy went to clear the puck, and he slapped it hard, and it hit me. And I was looking the other way, and it hit me right there.
Right in the sack.
And it knocked me backwards, and then my head hitting the ground knocked me out.
Oh, man.
So you're hit in the nuts the head.
Well, see, I don't know which caused me to pass. I don't know if getting hit in the package was enough to knock me out or the head hitting the ground.
You actually should be thankful you got hit in the head, and it knocked you out so you couldn't feel.
Yeah, right.
I woke up pretty quick after. It was a brief. And now I got pain at the time. I don't know which one to rub first.
I've never known how to describe to women what it feels like to get kicked in the boys. You can't describe. It's like the worst stomach ache, but it's not a stomach ache. It's
like it starts off as a sharp pain, and then it just becomes this dull throbbing pain.
It takes your breath away.
It does, and you feel sick and nauseous.
And every time you try to tell a woman about it, you know what they all say? Well, try having a baby.
Yeah.
They always do
two
that.
Completely different experiences.
Yeah, they'll say it's not even close.
No.
During the Cardinals game yesterday, Dan McLaughlin and Tim McCarver were on the air yesterday.
They got hit in the nuts.
No, but they were talking about Bruce Sutter, who used to pitch for the Cardinals, and apparently they were talking about an interview that Bruce Sutter did, and they asked Bruce Sutter if he had ever worn a cup. Now, this is back in the days before every game was televised, right? This is back in the days where it was just radio only, and then, you know, the Monday Night Baseball, Saturday. And Bruce Sutter's response was that he only wore a cup if they were being televised on Game of the Week.
Yeah, you don't want people to see that.
Wow.
That I can remember, I've only passed out twice. And, Dan, you saw one of them, and it was at that golf tournament a couple years ago. I just dropped right on the golf course. That was dehydration. The other one...
What'd you do, hit the fairway and couldn't believe it?
No, I just started feeling weird, and I tried to fight it and keep standing, and I just went down. And, of course, everybody... they thought I was doing some kind of a joke. You know, I could have just died, and nobody would have helped me, because they were laughing. And then finally, Dan's the one that realized, wait a second, he's out.
He's messing around.
And then I got up pretty quickly.
Took your wallet.
Yeah. You know what? My wallet was missing. So here's the time I passed out. I jumped out of an airplane. Now, I'm not squeamish, and I'm not... most things don't bother me, but I jumped out of a plane in Sparta, Illinois, and I couldn't wait to do it. It just seemed like the most exciting thing in the world to me, to jump out of a plane, and I had a couple of people. I knew who had done it. So I go there, and it was a four-hour... Not sure why it took 4 hours, but it was a four-hour sort of ground school. And I remember it was a perfect, beautiful day. Blue, like 73. I couldn't wait to go. And I kept saying, when are we going to go? When are we going to go? And they said, well, relax. We still have some more. And they made you jump off of what would simulate hitting the ground. You jumped off of a big, like, block and to teach you to roll so you didn't break your legs. So... Day goes by, it's like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and I kept saying, I sure hope we're going to make it and get the jump today. And the jump master said, relax. You will. And finally, here comes the plane taxing up. Now, I have been waiting and waiting. Man, I'm excited looking forward to this until you get up. I think we went up to 2,800 feet, and the door is off the plane.
Right.
And when the jump master taps you on the shoulder and says, okay, step out. You step out onto a strut pad thing under the wing, just enough that your feet can stand. When you look down, it's exactly like you're getting ready to kill yourself and jump off the Empire State Building. It's the most unnatural thing in the world if you've never done it. And he's yelling because it's loud. And he goes, oh, my, when I touch you on the shoulder, that means go. And there's no way, because there's a particular spot because of the wind. And he goes, now, when I tap your shoulder, it's go time. And I thought, I can't back out of this because I look like a wimp. And he hit me, touched my shoulder. And what happens is your hands up on like the strut under the wing, and you push straight back with both hands.
Right.
And then if everything goes right, you end up face down, spread with your hands and arms out, and you, as soon as I pushed off, boom, out like a light.
Oh,
out,
God.
Black.
That's
everything
not
gone.
Good.
Well, it's okay.
How did they realize it?
Huh?
How did they realize it?
They didn't. I did. You're on a static line. You're attached to a static line just in case something like this happens. So when the slack lets out, it pulls your ripcord.
Right.
So I'm out for maybe 5 seconds.
Oh, man.
And as soon as that chute opened, and it woke me up. The jolt woke me up.
Oh,
and
wow.
I looked up and I thought, woohoo! And from then on, it was fantastic. But I guess just the thought of I just jumped and I could just splat and flatten, and I just went completely blind.
You're defying the laws of gravity right there.
And I never faint. Man, I was out.
Now,
was
the
gone.
Last time I did faint a third time, and this was 10 to 15 years ago, probably, because Alyssa was small. She was pretty small. I was in the bathroom, and I was...
You strained too hard?
No, I was just about to strain. I was just
That's what
about
happened
to
Elvis.
Strain. I know. I was just about to strain.
Oh, you might want to push it a little harder, man.
Sat down, I know. Sat down. Nothing happened at the time. And the next thing I know, I was waking up in the bathtub.
Well, hold on a second. You were on the toilet?
Yes, I was on the toilet, and I fell off the toilet into the bathtub, ripped the shower curtain off. The shower curtain and the rod was on top of me.
Pants around your ankles.
And I was with Debbie, and she was trying to open the door, and I was blocking the door, and she said all she saw in the mirror was my butt sticking up in the air.
Oh, man.
And me covered in the shower curtain.
And were you out?
Yes.
For how long?
I don't know. Not long. I don't think long at all. But
anybody doesn't admit this, then I think you're a liar. And it's what Dan just mentioned. The thought of being found.
Oh yeah.
With your butt up in the air. Here's the worst. Toilet. You're number two, and you haven't had a chance to.
Clean
I don't
yourself
like to say,
up.
Yeah, thank you. Wipe sounds, you know.
Yeah.
And then you pass out and you fall forward. Now, not only are you there with your butt hanging out, but you got business that went, oh, my goodness. You know, and then the thought that somebody might find you that way.
That would be horrible.
I didn't do anything yet. I had just sat down, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm taking a shower curtain and a rod off of my head and everything.
Why would you pull the shower curtain out? Trying to catch yourself? Or?
No, I just fell into it. I have no idea. I didn't try to catch anything. I don't even remember. I just sat down, and next thing I know, I was waking up in the bathtub with my butt sticking up in the air.
You know, if we start trying to think, we'll take a break here, and then we'll pick this up. If we start trying to think of all the things that most everybody has done, but if somebody had happened to walk in when you're doing it, or you passed out because of a medical condition you didn't know, and one of them, of course, would be pleasuring yourself. I knew a guy whose mother walked in, and there he was just having a great time making love to himself, and there's his mom.
With a Glamour magazine.
Oh, my goodness. You know, how do you ever get over that?
You know what you call a guy who cries when he does that?
What?
A tearjerker.
Good one! Okay. So far today, Tim is the winner.
Got it.
Tearjerker. I don't know which is worse. Which is worse? Your mom walks in and you're doing that, or, like I told you, a friend of mine, his girlfriend's dad walked in, and they're right in the middle of going at it. Which
girlfriend's
is worse?
Dad. Oh, yeah. Girlfriend's dad.
I agree, because he can kill you. Your mom's not going to kill you.
No.
She'll be embarrassed, but she's not going to kill you. Her dad could kill you.
Girlfriend's dad. Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
Who was it? Not long ago, we had some kind of discussion. It was a story in the news. Some guy went over. His buddy had died, and he knew his buddy had a big porn collection. He went over and cleared it all out before his family could find it. That's a good friend.
That's a very good friend.
A very good friend. Of course, now there are no porn collections, because anything he wants right on the Internet. So they tell me. Amini's, I believe, is still in the middle of a big 4th of July sale. That doesn't surprise me. They got a TV commercial running now. I've seen it a couple of times. Nice. They do a good job with their TV commercials. But here's the problem. No TV commercial, no radio commercial, no print ad. It's kind of like the Grand Canyon. Until you see it, you don't get it. You know, I don't care if it's a 3D movie of the Grand Canyon or one of those ViewMasters. You're still never going to get it. Amini's is kind of like that. You can see pictures, you can watch commercials, you can listen to me, but until you go into Amini's, you're never really going to understand what the big deal is. Now, I'm going to give you, again, a reason to go to Amini's. Now, I've used this reason before. You don't think you really need anything from Amini's right now? You may not, but you don't really know what's there. But how about this? Go there just to see the rug they have hanging over by the rug department. It's hanging up like a tapestry that you would hang. It's a huge handmade rug. And I've talked about it before, and it's still there. They have actually had customers make them an offer on the rug, offers of $500,000, $600,000. No, the price of the rug is $700,000. It's 153 years old. It took 3 years working on it every day. Several people, probably a family, to make this incredible rug. Now think about this, the 153-year part. It's 153 years old. It hasn't been hanging for 153 years. It's been walked on for 153 years. It was in some sheik's palace or something. Now, I'm not sending you there because I think you might want to buy the rug. I don't think I know anybody who could buy that rug. I'm sending you there because it's my way of just getting you in the store, because I know once I get you into Amini's, if you've never been, you will go back. Because you're going to like it. You're going to love it. And so is your whole family. So take everybody with you when you go to Amini's. Always check their website fairly regularly, because there's a lot of money to be saved if you know when things are on sale. And then we'll end with the one category that is still their number one category in sales, and that's patio furniture. They do more patio furniture business than any other business they do. Rugs, lighting, other furniture, games, jukeboxes, patio furniture. Which tells me there's a significant market in the St. Louis area for people who want the best patio furniture made in the world. Not the junk, not the mediocre stuff, but the best of the best. So go to Amini's. There'll be no pressure. You tell them your AM and the PM, they'll leave you alone. The games, a lot of them are on free play. So while you look at things that bore children or bore your husband or your wife, they can go play arcade games, pinball games. Amini's, A-M-I-N-I-S, heart of Chesterfield Valley. Got a copper dome on it. You can't miss it. Amini's.com.
Let's get a look at traffic now with Tori Lyons.
Traffic is brought to you by Discover Student Loans. Accident eastbound 64 before Bellevue has the right lane closed. Accident cleared westbound 64 in Ballas. Expect rain volume in North County. East and westbound 270 between McDonald and West Florissant. And northbound 170 backing up at Scudder. Figuring out how to cover college costs? Discover Student Loans, one of the top private student loan lenders in the country with great rate, zero fees. Plus, students earn a cash reward for good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
It's patio season. Swing by your local Seiberg's family of restaurants to enjoy their daily lunch, dinner, and drink specials. Serving up the best wings, most delicious pizza, and a variety of menu items, like their Cajun Chicken Philly or Helen's Reuben with Helen's famous recipe of fresh, in-house cooked corned beef. Visit one of their six area locations at Dorset, Arnold, Chesterfield, Market Street, Gravoy Road, and O'Fallon, Illinois. And don't forget to check them out online at Seiberg's.com to book your party or catering event.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Every Friday afternoon at 1, it's Hockey Sense with Andy Strickland.
Always appreciate when guests take time to come on our show, especially our guest who's coming up right now, Lou Lamoriello. Great to be joined by Colton Parayko, big right shot defenseman for the St. Louis Blues. We bring in the Hall of Famer. And Chris Pronger, just like that, he says, yeah, I'll be there. The legendary Scotty Bowman, he joins us. Joining us now, Jordan Cairo.
It's Hockey Sense on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Buy a new McBride home and get your independence this July with incredible savings on a new home. That's right, this July, when you buy a new McBride home, get $8,000 off the base price during McBride's Independence Sale. And since McBride is celebrating 72 years building St. Louis, they have selected 72 exclusive inventory homes that have explosive discounts and the hottest prices you've ever seen. I'm talking discounts over $130,000 on some homes. McBride's Independence Sale is only good through July 31st, so there's no time to waste. You'll find an all-inclusive list of McBride's nearly 40 communities and ready-to-move-in homes online at McBrideHomes.com.
First, let's talk about the food before we let you know where you can feast on it. When was the last time you had giant Alaskan king crab legs? These babies are at least a pound each, and they're served sliced open, so all you do is dig out the meat and dip it in a seasoned hot clarified butter. That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Tennessee whiskey.
There you go, buddy.
Used to spend my nights out.
We do this song.
Turn this on. This is good.
Bet Sandy likes it.
There was the only love. This guy just came out of nowhere. Oh. Chris Stapleton, didn't he?
Yes.
And just, man, exploded.
He said he was thinking about quitting because he had been in the business for a while and was trying to make it and trying to make it. And then all of a sudden, boom, this Tennessee whiskey hit. And he's got a couple other hits.
Man, and one of the reasons so he was good. Thinking about quitting is he saw what happened to the other guy who just could not make it happen. Chris Paperclipton.
Oh, my goodness. I knew
never
that
made it.
Oh, wow. That was so bad. The machine didn't even work.
Was wow. he
jealous?
No, seriously, I mean, the machine's stuck.
Get it? Chris Stapleton?
Yeah.
Chris
yeah.
Paperclipton?
Oh, no.
Is his mom...
Hold on, his computer actually has crashed.
No, I mean the sound effects machine.
Sound effect? We don't use sound effects.
I don't use the sound effects. The door to the annex is shut. Uh-oh.
The door to the annex?
Yeah, I don't mean to, like, be that guy who puts down everything, but... when I kept seeing promotions for the streaming live of the fireworks... Really? Does anybody think watching fireworks on your phone or even a computer, you think, does that do it for you? Not to me. Fireworks, you need to be there.
Yeah, I like it when you're
but
there.
But I guess an older person can't get out of the house, or they're, you know, sick or better than nothing, I guess.
What about church? Is it the same thing with church? Could you just like stream church and just lay in bed and just kind of get your church on?
You asked this last time.
I think is that's
it not? You asked if it's not as good as going to church. I said yes.
You still get the message?
Yeah. I don't show me in the Bible where it says get in your car and go to church. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any cars. Right. Or it doesn't even say get on your donkey.
Or your chariot.
Or your chariot and go to church. So let me ask you if this is happening to anybody else. This guy, Josh Hawley, what is it he's running for?
He's running against Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
U.S. Senate. I have never seen anything like this. Everything I go to do on the computer, up pops an ad about how horrible Josh Hawley is.
Every time I open up Facebook.
I'm not kidding. I've seen this 100 times, and I thought, this poor guy, maybe he is horrible. I don't know. Maybe he's not. But if Josh Hawley's people are listening, it's time to get on it and launch a bunch of positive stuff because the other side is killing you with these negative. It seems like everything I go to do, I Google stuff, and when it comes up comes, you want more of the same, Eric Greitens corruption? Well, then Josh Hawley's your man because he's right in there with him. And I've seen it, I'm not kidding, like 60 times.
Oh, I did hear that one.
But I've never, ever seen any candidate have the other side spend this much money tearing him up.
Yeah.
Somebody really doesn't want him to win. I just wondered if other people had noticed that, too.
You can't even go to lemonparty.org and not without seeing the ad that says, these guys donated to Josh Hawley.
You know what? I think that's the one of the few places you can go and not see it. So, yeah, folks, probably. If you want to get on the computer and bring up a site where you won't see the Josh Hawley negative ads, that site would be lemonparty.org.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
But don't go there.
Yeah, they're asking you, don't go there.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
No. Do not go there.
These poor people.
And don't be mad at us if you do go there, because we told you don't.
So Tower T is closed. I'm trying to help me out with this. When I first started playing golf, and I was 50 before I ever even picked up a club, I think, or close to it. One of the places I went to practice driving, I think, was Tower T. Did this place, in addition to the miniature golf, did they have the upper level where you could go up to a second level and hit balls? Or was I somewhere else?
It's not necessarily a second level, but it's on Higgy Road in Afton, and it's between Gravois and McKenzie on Higgy Road, and the driving range, it's small. It's to the far right of the place as you look at it from the road, and it is on a little bit of a higher level than the rest of the place.
No, this place had two levels of people on the bottom and people on the top. I must have been somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I guess I've never been to Tower T.
And Tower T was just the par 3 course. That was it.
Okay, I don't think
And miniature golf and batting cages.
Yeah.
Okay, then I don't think I've been there. I thought sure I had. Where was I wonder? Where It's actually two stories. Go up some steps and hit balls.
We're
going to
find out that Frank was on top of a parking lot somewhere.
No. It's somewhere. I want to say it's somewhere like De Pere or something. It's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember anything. Sad story this morning I read, this 12-year-old boy who drowned in an apartment complex pool in North County. Let me tell you, there are certain things when you're a kid you cannot get out of your head. And when I was in school, freshman in high school, there was a kid named Nicky Blunt, and his older brother drowned at some picnic or outing. I remember how the teachers treated him with kid gloves. They didn't know how to treat a kid grieving like that. And when he came back to school, I just remember it was like everybody was so careful with Nicky because his older brother had drowned. And I just thought, wow. It was just a really sad, heavy thing. But I think the truth is, anybody losing a kid is bad, but from what I've read over the years, drowning is not a horrible, painful death. You know what I mean? It's sort of like you sort of pass out. Now, I don't know how they can really know that, but I guess experts could know that. It's not screaming, writhing, kicking. It's better than, you know, being in the fire or something. But even so, it's just so weird when I saw that story in my head. Nicky Blunt, first thing that popped up. I haven't seen that kid since I was a kid. Haven't heard his name, but I never forgot his name. Because when I heard he drowned, all I could think of was, wow, what a horrible thing to happen. Watch your own brother drown. And I think he did. I think he witnessed him going in and trying to save
him. Oh, this kid died. There was nobody else. He was 12. The oldest person in the pool was 13.
Yeah,
something not right there. So sorry to that family. That's a horrible, horrible thing. I missed a